to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, we're picking up in the sonship. We started this last week. We set sail for a brand new ship. And by God's grace, I'm hoping we will finish our journey today in this particular ship, the sonship. It is nothing like the discipleship. This is a great ship to be in. Amen. Discipleship comes with the idea of discipline. This one comes with just being a loving son of God. Amen. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 14 down through 17, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, dealing with the sonship. Amen. By the way, we have inherited eternal life through the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, and therefore we're called sons of God and not daughters of God. We're called sons because we are in Christ. We've been accepted in the beloved. Romans chapter number 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are thus," say it with me, "sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are," thus say it with me, "children of God. And if children, then heirs," and say it with me, "heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Notice by verse 14, says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we are in what's called the sonship right now. And I'm so glad to be a son of God. And whether you're a female or a male, we are accepted and beloved, and Christ, God sees us in Christ. And so as we continue the sonship today, we're going to discover some more blessings of what it means to be called a son or a child of God. Amen. And that's a good thing. Amen. Father, thank you once again that as many as received you, to them you gave the power to become the sons of God. And there are many under the sound of my voice that have accepted Christ as Savior. They repented of sin and received you. They're born again. And as a result of that, Lord, we have blessings, numerous blessings in Christ. And so I pray that as we look at some of the blessings that we have of being children of God, we might take full advantage of that. We might give you praise. We might give you honor. We might give you glory. And Lord, just thank you for making us children of God by giving us entrance into the sonship. And I pray when it's all said and done today, Lord, we might truly say it's been good being in the house of God, but it's even better being a child of God. And Lord, it doesn't end here. It gets better in eternity. So we're looking forward to what you have in store for us and what the Lord you're going to say to us. Anoint our ears that we may hear. Anoint our hearts that may be open. Lord, anoint my lips that I may say exactly what I need to say. And when it's all said and done, Lord, help us to leave here differently than we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable of what God would have us to do. And then, Lord, desire us to do that which you have called us to do, and that's being a witness of the glory of God, being in the sonship. Work in us, work through us, Lord. There's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that's not sure that if they were to die, they would step out of this time and into eternity in heaven. Help them, Lord, to recognize they must be born again, and help them to make that decision today to receive Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Bless now the morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And Miss Natasha has our special.
When I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Almighty God will be with them. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, no more pain, no through all past away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write these words, for they are faithful and true, and it is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, He's everything, Messiah, Jehovah, Prince of peace, the Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person in the Trinity. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God, King of kings, He's everything, Messiah, Jehovah, Prince of Peace, He, the Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person in the Trinity. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's everything, Messiah, Jehovah, Prince of Peace, He, the Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person in the Trinity. He is the Alpha and Omega, the Son of God, the King of kings, the Messiah, Jehovah, the Great I Am, Seed of Abraham. He's the
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Tasha Arms. We're glad that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. He is the beginning. He is the end. And without Him, we would not be. But praise God that He is. Amen. And that we are too. Amen. And I'm so glad I'm in the sonship. Amen. I don't know about you, but you know, there's a lot of things that I would love to be, but none greater than being a son of God or a child of God. Amen. And so it is a blessing being in the sonship. You know, last week, as we talked about this, you know, I talked about my family background. I don't know what your family background situation is like, and you may not have experienced the things that I experienced. You may not love being a child in your family, or maybe you didn't have all the blessings I had. But you know what? I'm so glad that in the sonship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter, because that is the best ship that you can be in. Amen. Relationship with the parents may not be the greatest. Your parents may not have been as fair as you thought they should have been, but I can assure you this, God is always fair. God's always good, amen. You may have been raised with just a mom or just a dad, but God is more than a mom. He's more than a dad. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end, and it's good to be in the sonship, amen. Now, I don't want to change being a Dawson. Amen. I still love being a Dawson. I said, are you trying to give up your Dawsonship? No, I'm not giving up the Dawsonship. Amen. I'm still a child of God. I'm still a child of my mom and dad, and I'm still going home for some fish, Pastor White. Amen. So they cannot get rid of me that easy. The barbecue is still at home. The barbecue sauce is still at home. The blow up beds for the kids are still at home. Amen. Everything is still at home. Amen. So the only thing that they did, my dad gave away my bedroom. I cannot believe that. He gave away my bedroom and didn't give away my bedroom furniture. He said, well, there was a family in the church that needed some furniture. I said, so what you do to help them, Dad? He said, I gave him your furniture. I said, what? What am I supposed to sleep on when I come home? He said, you got your own home now. You ain't got no home here, amen. And then you went and bought the kids and blow up sleeping bags. and gave away my bedroom set? What kind of idea is that? But, you know, that's the sonship. Amen. He said, you'll get over it, son. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be a child of God. Amen. Give you just a background of what we talked about last week. We talked about how we were offered entrance into the sonship. And we looked at John 1:12. We're not going to turn it now, but it says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which means we entered into the sonship. Amen. It said, even to them that believe on his name. So we're offered entrance into the sonship. Then we looked at number two. We were offered enlightenment in the sonship. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, for as many as are, what's that word? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. And so we saw we're offered enlightenment in the sonship. The word led means to guide someone or to direct someone. And the Spirit of God wants to guide us and lead us. Then number three, we saw we're offered enrichment in the sonship. Anytime you get the word enrichment, it means to improve the quality, to add usefulness to something, to make something better and richer than it was before. And we saw that we were offered enrichment in the sonship. And with this enrichment, we have an audience with God. Notice verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have an audience with God in the sonship. We can go to God. We can talk to God. We can pray to God. We can tell him anything and everything. And by the way, he won't shun you. He won't say, I don't have time for you. He won't say, come back tomorrow. You won't get a busy signal. Amen. Nor will you get an answering machine. We cry, Abba, Father. So we have an audience with God in the sonship. Notice verse 16. We have assurance also from God in the sonship. Verse 16. For the Spirit itself, that should be a capital S in your Bible, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He says we're sons of God in verse 14. There he says we are the children of God. And so we have assurance from God in the sonship that we are his children. By the way, we know that we want to hear his word and obey him and do what he wants, but we understand at times we don't want to hear from God. Did we always want to hear what our parents had to say? No. Did we always want our parents' advice? No. Did we always want our parents' guidance? No. Did we sometimes think we were right, better than our parents? Yes. Some more than others. Some thought they was always right and their parents were always wrong. Amen. And that means you were wrong. Amen. But we understand there are times when we don't want to hear from God and don't want to do what God wants to do. But that's when there are issues of the flesh like we have with our children when we wanted to rebel against our parents and our children try to rebel against us. And we, you know what we do? We say, well, let me tell you what my parents told me. We don't do that in the Dawsonship. And if we do that in the Dawsonship, there are consequences. What are you going to do? Kick me out of the ship? No, something much better. You're going to the brig, buddy. Amen. How many of y'all Navy folks know what the brig is? Jail, amen. That's captivity. Some of y'all call that punishment. Some of y'all call that time out, amen. Some of y'all call it time in, amen. Some of y'all call it time up, amen. For me, it was time up, buddy. We're going to talk to the captain, amen. And going down to the brig was not good. You didn't want to talk to the brig in my house, amen, because the brig captain was merciless. With some love, but merciless, amen. And so you went down to the brig, and oftentimes you came up a chain sailor. You were ready to fly with the captain. You were ready to swab the deck. You was ready to hoist the sails, amen. You was ready to swab the poop deck, amen. You was ready to do all that once you went down to the Dawson Brig, amen. My children have visited there on occasion or two, amen. But you know, that's a sure a sign that you have assurance that you are in the Dawson ship. I don't have the right to deal with anybody else's children the way I deal with my children. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, because we're talking about we have assurance from God in the sonship. Hebrews chapter number 12, because sometimes we're not going to want to hear from the captain of our ship. Sometimes we're not going to hear what God wants for us to do. And Hebrews chapter 12 brings up another aspect of this assurance that we have from God in the sonship. We especially get assurance when we are chastened by God. That's one of the most notable assurances. Notice chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. Notice that. Exhortation. That means to build you up, to strengthen you, to help you out. Amen. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto what? Children. What does he say? My son, despise not thou the what? Chastening of the Lord. Amen. We deal with child rearing from that word. The chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. Amen. Hey, you get assurance because you're chastened and you're rebuked. Amen. Notice the next verse. For whom the Lord, notice that word, loveth. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? Chasteneth. And sometimes what? Scourgeth. Now, chastening and scourging are two different words. Chastening means to pretty much instruct you and teach you and give you admonishment. Sometimes it's by rebuking you. Scourging means to whoop the devil out of you, basically. You know, when Jesus was beat, he was scourged. He was scourged with a cat of nine tails. They beat him. And so if chastening doesn't work, what does the Bible say? Then God may have to scourge you. So what kind of belt does he use? Uh-huh. What kind of rod does he use? Uh-huh. The one that works. For some, it's bigger. For some, it's smaller. For some, it's just chastening. In my family, man, my dad had to scourge me to get me to do right. My other sister, they just look at her. They look at me, pop, 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 pop. But if my mom and dad just looked at me, I'm like, you know you did wrong? Uh-huh. Are you going to do right? Uh-huh. Then why'd you do wrong again? I was just dumb. Did you know you weren't supposed to do that? But you said don't pick up that rock. You didn't say anything about that rock. A rock is a rock, but they have names. That's this kind of rock. And you didn't say anything about picking up that kind of rock. Boy, just don't pick up rocks, period. Let's come on here and talk to the brig. And then I had to get scourged. My sister, just look at her and she quiver and crumble and just fall apart. Only thing she got was the chastening. I got the scourging. But you know what? I knew they loved me just as much as they loved her. Just because they didn't give me the death stare. Death stare didn't work for me. G2, he couldn't put a force on me and do that Darth Vader thing. They put their hands on me. And none of this force stuff, that doesn't work in my family. The force that they used was force called strength. Strength of the switch. Strength of the rod. And that worked marvelous. What am I saying here? We have assurance from God in the sonship. He says, hey, look, he says, if ye endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with you as with sons. For which son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I can't chasten someone else's son, but I can sure chasten my own children. Amen. God is not interested in chastening someone else's children, but he is sure interested in chastening his own children. He is not interested in scourging someone else's children, but he is really interested in scourging his children. Why? Because he knows it makes them better in the sonship. That comes from Proverbs, and you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 is where it was actually quoted from. And it says, my son, Proverbs 3:11, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Why? Verse 12, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. God wants you and I to be corrected. By the way, you know you're a child of God when God has to deal with you. You know you're a child of God when God has to deal with you. Notice down there, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 8. He says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. He said, all of God's children get chastened at some time or another. He said, all of them are partakers of this because why? We're all sinners. He said, if you're without chastisement, he said, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. He said, then you're illegitimate. You don't really belong to God if that is the case. You don't belong to God. If you're not getting whooped by God and chastened by God and correct by God and lovingly disciplined by God, there's a problem because God rebukes those whom he loved. I knew I couldn't just go out there and throw rocks and break windows because I knew there was a consequence to pay. My parents loved me too much to let me get away with foolishness like that because I might break a window or somebody might shoot me. Amen. And they loved me too much to let me get away with foolishness like that. By the way, God loves us too much to let us get away with foolishness as well. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We serve man so that she'll also reap. And God knows that. He didn't want us to get into that too much. Amen. You know you're a child of God when he has to deal with you like verse 7. Some of the worst children are those who are not chastened and dealt with as children. Amen. Come on, help me now. We're living in a generation now where children aren't being dealt with. They're not being chastened. They're not being scourged. They're not being challenged to do what's right. They're being left to be raised by the internet, social media, and everybody else. And parents are giving their authority to the television. They're giving their authority to social media to raise their children. And social media was never called to raise your child, nor was the school, nor was the church, nor was the teacher, nor were the policemen. Amen. But if you don't do it, they will. Amen. If you don't do it, they will. Hey, what am I saying here? Some of the worst children are those that are not chastened and dealt with. Amen. But then sometimes worse children that are chastened and dealt with but without love are some of the worst ones. Oh, they'll obey in your face because they're afraid to get dealt with. But out your face, they're mean as the devil. It's got to be love. Got to deal with love. Now, I will tell you, when I had to go to the brig in my own family, when I was in subordination on the sonship, amen, my parents lovingly dealt with me in such a way that I knew they loved me. They talked to me. They let me know why I was getting it. They let me know, hey, look, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I remember my mother put me on such a severe punishment one time. She went to work crying over the punishment she put me on. Now, I did my own crying, too. I felt sorry for myself, too. I thought, no one should be able to be. This is tough. Who could live through this, you know? Guess what? I lived through it. I'm 55 now. That was back when I was 15. I lived through it. And I got better because of it. But she went to work crying over me and the severity of the discipline that she had to place on me. She went to work weeping. Wow, that's love. She showed me she loved me, and she told me she loved me, and she said, I'm doing this because I love you. By the way, when you and I need to be chastened by God or scourged by God, he tells you over and over again, I love you, I love you, I love you, and that's why I'm doing it. Don't ever think God's being mean to you. Don't ever think God's being cruel to you. Don't ever think that God doesn't love you because God allows you to go through something that you think is unfair. God does love you. That's why he's doing it. We do discipline our children because we love them. The Bible says if you don't discipline them, you don't love them. And so you've got to do it. I've met some parents that say, I'm not going to do just a little Johnny because, you know, you're disobeying God. You're disobeying God. God says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So if I don't chasten him, guess what the opposite is? Don't love him. Don't love them. What am I saying? We have assurance from God in the sonship. He says, hey, look, if you endure this chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Assurance comes when we endure rebukes and endure chastening, endure corrections, and endure hard times that God allows us to go through. And so we found out we have the enrichment in the sonship. We've got an audience with God in the sonship, according to verse 15. We cry, Abba, Father. We have assurance from God in the sonship. But there's something else here. Romans chapter 8, go back over to verse number 17. Something else we have in this sonship, and not just an audience with God and assurance, but we've got account and acquisition in this sonship. Romans chapter number 8. And in Romans chapter number 8, I want us to notice verse number 17. Amen. Took my bookmark out of there, so now I lost my page. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 8, notice verse number 7. We have an account and acquisition in the sonship as well. It says, and if children then, read that word, heirs, heirs of God, and notice this, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What else do we have in this ship? We have this audience, we have this assurance, but we have this account and acquisition. Acquisition means to gain something or obtain something or possess something. Account means the idea of having credit that is ours to use. You and I are joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God. That means everything Christ has, we get a part in that. Amen. That's good. Amen. Hey, we are rich. 1 Corinthians says it this way, I have not seen nor ear heard. Hold your finger there. Go back. Go forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul here talking about that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few chapters over. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so you and I have this account. We have this acquisition. We're heirs of God. Galatians 4:7 says it this way, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, of a son, than an heir. Heir of God through Christ. We are an heir. That means we have something coming to us. Many of us are on our parents' will or on our spouse's will. And so if we die, we get something from that unfortunate death or something like that. Or it could be some aunt or some uncle and we're an heir. We get something when those things happen. But what does an heir get spiritually speaking? An heir is a person who's legally entitled to inherit some or all the estate of another person. I told my dad, Pastor White, I don't possess guns. I said, Daddy, I want all your guns. And my sisters had the audacity to say, we need the guns. I said, y'all can't even shoot. They said, we got to defend ourselves. You can defend yourself. I said, but I got a family to defend. Amen. I need the guns. I need the Smith Wesson. I need all those so I can put those signs in the front of people who have this house guarded by Smith and Wesson. Amen. I like those signs. Amen. I said, I want the guns. He said, well, I'll divide them up. I'll give y'all this and give you. We're already fighting about stuff we want. Amen. I don't want nothing. Else. Just give me the guns. Amen. Give the sisters the bills. Amen. But we're heirs. Amen. And so when it comes down to this, he says heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And the heir gets what's coming to them. Read you several verses here. In Psalm 16:5, the psalmist said it this way. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Think about that. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. If the Lord is your inheritance, what else do you need? You don't need anything else, amen. I got God, amen. I don't need anything. Why do you think some of these millionaires and billionaires don't get saved? They think, I got money. I don't need to get saved. I got money. By the way, money can't buy you heaven. Money can't buy you eternal life. Not it'll buy you a Lamborghini. It'll buy you a Mercedes. It'll buy you a BMW. It'll buy you a mansion. It'll buy you one of those houses that, they got the bowling alleys inside of it. We saw about the other day, some of these athletes have these houses. They got bowling alleys in the house and basketball courts in the houses and movie theaters in the house and, big Olympic swimming pools in the house. It's like, who's going to take care of all this? A billionaire. And if you have that, guess what? You can have that. But guess what? It won't get you. Heaven. It won't get you on the sonship. You can't even swab the deck. Amen. It will not get you there. And so the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, the psalmist said. Paul's told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:24, he said it this way to them, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. 1 Peter says it this way. Go over to 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Talking about being an heir of God and what we inherit. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And notice how Peter puts it here in chapter 1 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Notice this, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the what? Power of God through what? Through faith unto what? Salvation. When? Ready to be revealed. When? In the last time. Hey, I may not have all of my riches right now, but guess what? It's reserved in heaven for me. Hey, guess what? I may not look like I'm all that right now, but I'm an heir of God. Amen. I've got it coming to me. Amen. It's in the work. It's in the mix. It's in the making. You look at me and you may not see much, but God sees Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I don't care what people may see. God sees Jesus Christ and sees me in Jesus Christ. And because of that, that's my inheritance. Amen. And as a result, I got something waiting for me. I got something waiting for me. You say, man, I can't wait to get that. Get in the sonship and you'll have it. Hey, outside the sonship, you're just a spectator watching them sail. The ship is set sail. I'm not on the sonship. By the way, if you're not on the sonship, you're on the Titanic. And you know what happened to the Titanic. You don't want that, amen. Hey, what am I saying here? We've been offered enrichment in the sonship. We've got an audience with God. We have assurance from God. And then we have an account and acquisition in this sonship, amen. Show you another one here, number four. We're offered not just an entrance into the sonship. We're offered enlightenment in the sonship. We're offered enrichment in the sonship. But number four, we're offered effectiveness in the sonship. Go to Philippians chapter number two. Philippians chapter number two, we're offered effectiveness in the sonship. Preacher, what are you talking about effectiveness? You and I, as a son of God, as a child of God, have the ability to be as effective as Jesus Christ was by the Spirit of God. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't walk on water. You don't need to. I can't heal anybody. You don't need to. Well, I can't open the eyes of the blind. You don't need to. What would you do with it anyway? But show off. Look at me. I can make the blind see. Watch how. Look at me. Get that Joel Osteen style. I can heal. Who cares if you can heal? What glory does God get out of it? Jesus Christ did what he did to prove that he was God. You and I don't have to prove that we're God. We just have to prove that we're a son of God. Amen. We just have to prove that we're in a sonship. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, notice verse number 15. He says, that ye may be what? Blameless and what? Harmless. Who? The sons of God. I'm in the sonship. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He said, look, you can be effective in the sonship. I want you to shine as lights in the world. I want you to be sons of God without rebuke in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. I want you to be blameless and harmless. Why? Jesus Christ set out his life to harm no one but to save everyone. And guess what? In the process, he himself was harmed. For you and I. His blood was shed for you and I. He who knew no sin shed his blood for you and I. What am I saying? We're offered effectiveness in the sonship. You look at King David. King David was one of the greatest kings that ever lived. And King David tried to pass down everything necessary to Solomon so that Solomon could be just as effective as he was. And by the way, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He was even wiser than King David. And by history, you tell me who was more effective, King David or Solomon? King David, because Solomon refused to follow the wisdom that he had. But King David, as a man of God, had all these things and a man after God's own heart. And Solomon came and he said, look, I want you to be just as effective as I am. And this is what you need to do. The Bible says he forsook that which he was supposed to do and his heart was turned to other people. And so you and I have the effectiveness, have been offered the ability to be as effective in the sonship as Jesus Christ, according to this verse. Hey, preacher, how do we get that? Notice verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, ye as always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How am I going to work out my own salvation? Obey the word of God that you know to obey. Don't try to obey somebody else's word. Obey your word. Amen. Can you imagine what was happening if you obeyed the traffic signal on the other side? You would cause an accident. But that's what Christians are trying to do. Trying to obey somebody else's traffic signal. God didn't tell you to stop. He told you to go. He told them to stop. Well, over there, their light is green. Are you over there? Then obey your traffic signal. Folks say, but I can peek and I can see what it is. Or worse, you get to run in the red light. Some of y'all do that. You know, you look at the light. You can see it's getting ready to change. So you get ready to take off. And then you get tricked sometimes and they don't give you a green arrow. and you're about to run the red light and cause an accident. You know why? You're not obeying your own signal. You're trying to anticipate what's going to happen. Those things were made by human beings. You know what human beings are? Sinners. You know what they make? Mistakes. And sometimes they don't operate like they should. And if you obey somebody else's signal, guess what's going to happen to you? You can get in trouble. Amen. Hey, he says our duty here is to work out our own salvation. But notice our drive in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to what? To will and what? To do of his good pleasure. He said, you know what? You can be effective if you understand your duty is to work out your own salvation. Obey what God's told you to do. Make sure you get your drive, your direction. He says, well, is God's going to work in you? But then verse 14, he said, this is your disputings. Do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. If somebody's going to complain, let it be the world. Don't let it be the Christian. Don't let it be the Christian. But guess what Christians do most of? Murmuring and disputing. Some of y'all think about work tomorrow. You know what y'all doing in your mind? Yeah, I want to go to work tomorrow. And that's okay. Just don't say it verbally. Because if you say it loud enough to your kids, you know what your kids are going to say? I don't want to go to school, so we're even. And so you stay home from work, I'll stay from school. How about that? Amen. Hey. Well, you can't stay home. Why? Because I'm the adult. You sure acting like one. Hey, do all things without murmuring and disputing. He says, hey, look, our duty is verse 12. Our drive and direction is verse 13. Our disputings is verse 14. There should be none so that we can have our display in verse 15 that she may be blameless and harmless. What? The sons of God showing that you're in the sonship, showing that you're a child of God, showing that you're an heir, showing that you are the child of God whom God has called you to be. And if nothing else, say, what would Jesus do? Amen. And guess what he would do? He would do what he's supposed to do. Amen. And so when you look at this, you look at we have been offered effectiveness in the sonship. You and I can be what we need to be for God. We really can. We can be the parent we need to be. We can be the teacher we need to be. We can be the father we need to be. We can be the brother we need to be. We can be the sister we need to be. We can be the preacher we need to be. We can be the coworker we need to be. We can be the boss that we need to be. We can be anything that God wants us to be. If we look at verses 12, 13, 14, and 15, understanding that God wants us to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, because we have the same Spirit of God. Now, if you got a different spirit, then you're not saved. But if we have the Spirit of God, we can do this. Let me share this last one with you. In the sonship, we've been offered entrance into the sonship, enlightenment in the sonship, enrichment in the sonship, effectiveness in the sonship. And I like this last one. We've been enveloped by God in the sonship. Enveloped by God in the sonship. I like that. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we've been enveloped by God in the sonship. Once I get in the sonship, there is no leaving. We've been enveloped by God in the sonship. Just like a cocoon protects the caterpillar during his transformation into a butterfly, you and I are protected and enveloped by God in the sonship. Say, preacher, what's an envelope used for? An envelope is used to protect and seal things during transit. I remember when I was in boot camp years ago, my wife would put my little love letters in an envelope, and she'd send them to me, and she'd sprinkle them with that perfume. And although you could smell the aroma all over boot camp, and everybody's wondering, where is that smell coming from? Ain't no women in here. Ain't no ladies in here. Where that smell coming from? Airman Dawson. It would kind of fly past all the noses of the airmen as they sniffed it as it went by, and they pass it along. Airman Dawson, this is yours. That smells like my honey. And although everybody could smell it, nobody knew what it said. You know why? It was enveloped. It was in an envelope. It was sealed and protected. And then I could open it up, and the airman would kind of look around. Get your eyes out of between me and my honey. I could read how much she loved me and cared about me and missed me, and nobody else could see it. You know why? It was enveloped. It was in an envelope, and it was sealed, and it was protected. And you and I have been enveloped in the sonship. as God is transforming us into a work of art and a work of beauty, just like the cocoon protects the caterpillar to transform into a butterfly, you and I are protected in the sonship. We've been enveloped. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're protected to be delivered to our final destination. Preacher, where's the final destination? Heaven! Amen! Hey, the final destination is heaven. It's on the other side. Hey, it's in glory. It's not here. We're just passing by. I'm going on the other side. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says it this way, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1:13 says it this way, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What are you saying? You've been enveloped. You've been protected. Ephesians 4:30 said this way, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But I like 1 John here, chapter 3 and verse 20. Notice what he says. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God. I'm in the sonship. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, I'm in the sonship. Right now, I'm in the sonship. And I may not look like you want me to look. I may not look like Jesus Christ right now, but hey, let me show you, I'm in the sonship nonetheless. And more, he's making me to be what he wants me to be by this transformation process. He's still working on me. And although when you look at me, you may not see that. And then when we look at you, we may not see that. You can be assured that in this sonship, you've been enveloped. He says down there, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, you don't know the contents of an envelope until it's opened. We don't know what we're going to look like until it's all over. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hey, we don't know what we're going to look like, but we do know this. The end is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice down there in verse number 51, Paul here speaking about our transformation. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Say, when sleep there means die. But we shall all be changed. Say, preacher, who is all? Everybody that's in the sonship. Everybody that's saved. Everybody that's a child of God. Everybody that's been born again of the Spirit of God, not of flesh and blood. You must be what? Born again. And so all those will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. What am I saying? We've been enveloped by God in the sonship. We're going to be changed. It doesn't appear what we're going to be like right now. We know one thing, we're going to be like him. And people may not see that. That's why he says, I want you to be harmless. I want you to be called the sons of God without rebuke. That's why I want you to do all things without murmurings and disputing. That's why I want you to be the way I want you to be. That's why I'm going to chasten you a little bit. That's why I'm going to scourge you a little bit. That's why I want to help you out so that people can see me in you. Because right now you're not like me and people don't see that. And people may not respect you. But they've got to respect what you do. They got to respect how you do it. They got to respect what you say. They got to respect how you say it. Everybody's going to get mad at some loudmouth that's had no respect, but someone that's going to do things by the Spirit of God, God is going to give them the boldness and the power to do what he's called them to do. We may not be all that, as they would say, but I don't have to be when I'm in Jesus Christ. I don't need none of that. All I need is the power of God. That's all I need. So Paul says, you know what? It doesn't appear we're going to be like or John, but you know what? We're going to be like him. Paul said, in a moment, in twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Say, preacher, how'd you get it? I got in the sonship. How'd you get the sonship? It was offered to me. He says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I got into sonship. It was offered to me. Jesus says, you want to set sail? I said, you know what, Lord? I can't set sail by myself. I'm a sinner. I'm going to receive you. And I turned from my sin and I turned to my Savior and I received him as my Lord, my Savior. And I was offered interest in the sonship. And when I got into sonship, he said, let me show you something that you've got. Let me give you some enlightenment. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God because now you're a son of God. Let me give you some help here. Let me give you some enrichment. You got an audience with me. You can talk to me anytime you get good and ready. Let me give you something here. You got assurance. I'll let you know that you belong to me. I may have to get on you sometimes, amen. I may have to spank you sometimes. I may have to scourge you sometimes, but I'm going to let you know I belong to you. But let me give you something here. There's some acquisition here. There's some things that I'm going to acquire, let you acquire. You're going to be an heir. You get everything that Jesus Christ got. You got all of it, amen? Let me help you out, son. You need to watch how you do things. You have the effectiveness to see others change, just like you were changed, if you do all things without murmurings and disputes. If you understand that you need to work out your salvation, that if you understand, I don't want you out there monkeying around, getting into squabbling and needless debates with people, because one day you're going to be changed. People don't see that. You're enveloped right now. I got you protected. I got you covered. One day you're going to be changed, and everybody will see who you really are. But until that time, I want them to see a little bit more of who I am day by day by day by day in your life. How do we do that? By the sonship. We have been offered interest into the sonship. We have enlightenment in the sonship. We have enrichment in the sonship. We've been offered effectiveness in the sonship. We can be just as effective as Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And we've been enveloped by God in the sonship. I'm protected. How about you? You know, as long as people abide in the ship, they'll be safe. I'm so glad that in the sonship, I don't have to keep myself safe. I'm kept by the power of God. You know, as long as the sailor is in the boat keeps him safe through the storms and through all the things like that. And I'm glad a boat like this is not what I'm sailing in, spiritually speaking. My boat can't capsize. My boat can't go over. My boat's not going to turn over. My boat's not the Titanic. My boat's not any of these other luxury liners that you see go down. My boat's not like any of those. My boat is Jesus Christ, amen? And as long as he ain't going down, I ain't going down. And guess what? He ain't going down. He ain't going down. I'm only going up. This body may die, but I'm going up. Preacher, why? I'm in the sonship. I trust that you're in the sonship today. If you're not, let me tell you this. It's offered to you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Once you get in that ship, there's so much that God wants to give you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're looking around. Father, I'm so thankful that you've allowed me to be in the sonship. I'm so thankful that you've given me eternal life. So thankful for that day, February 3rd, 1991, when I entered the sonship, when I received you as my personal Lord and Savior. And oh God, the privileges that you gave me, the enlightenment that you gave me, the enrichment that you gave me, the effectiveness that you gave me. And Lord, you enveloped me. And Lord, many of the sons of my voice are in the same ship that I am. And it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when you appear, we're going to be like you because we'll see you like you are. And the world needs to see that. God, help us today to be more effective in the sonship, knowing that we're enveloped, we've been enriched, and we have what we need by way of enlightenment in the ship. Help us at school. Help us at our jobs. Help us wherever we go to let people know this is a good ship to be in, the sonship. I'm a child of God. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm looking around. I'm going to say, preacher, if I died right now, I know I'm in the sonship. There is no doubt in my mind. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I died right now, there is no doubt. I know I'm in the sonship. And you raise your hand, giving glory to God. I know I'm in the sonship. There's no doubt in my mind. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. There is absolutely no doubt. I know I'm born again. Hallelujah. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. I'm going to say, preacher, I think I'm in the sonship, but I'm not sure. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? I would love to be in that sonship, but I'm questioning whether I'm in the sonship. I don't seem to be led. I don't seem to be getting chastened. I don't have the assurance. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm in the sonship. Right where you're at, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, I too sat where you sat. I'm not sure, preacher. Would you pray for me? Then lastly, I'm going to say, preacher, I do want to be effective. I know I've been enveloped by God. I want that enlightenment. I do want to be directed by God. Pray for me that I could be not just enlightened and enriched, but effective in what I do. Pray for me. I want to be effective in what I do. I want people to see what's inside, although they can't see it. I want to see it outside. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. Father, thank you for these who raised your hand being honest. It doesn't appear what we should be. People can't see Jesus in us, but they will see the actions that we portray. They will hear the words that we say. They will see the directions that we go, and they will see the behavior that we have, Lord. Help these raise their hand to be more effective like Jesus. We know we'll have to understand the work of our own salvation. We have to understand you work in us to do your will. And then we'll have to do without murmuring in this beauty that others can see Jesus. Help each one that raised their hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, on looking around as Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation. Are you let God speak to your heart? Perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Ask God to help you be led of the Spirit of God like a son of God. Maybe you need to say, Lord, enrich me a little bit more. Help me to have the proper audience with you that I need to have. Lord, help me to feel the assurance that I need to feel from you. Help me to recognize the account and acquisition I have, the heir that I am of God, and be patient. That it's all waiting for me down the road. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I want to be more effective in the sonship. Maybe you just need to thank him for enveloping you, sealing you, protecting you, like a package sealed to its final destination. Maybe God wants to work in your life and do something miraculous. You need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I've been offered the entrance to the sonship. I have it. I'm on deck. I'm serving. But enlighten me. Lead me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Lead me, Lord. Help me to see what I need to do. Maybe enrich. Lord, enrich me. Help me to speak to you freely. Maybe effectiveness. Lord, help me to do all things without murmuring and disputing. I know I'm protected. Maybe you say, preacher, I've never been born again. I need to be saved. We're here for you. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. How to be born again. How to be sure that you're in the sonship. Perhaps you would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. I need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come and present yourself for baptism and say, preacher, what do I need to do to be baptized? We'll tell you exactly what you need to do to be baptized. Salvation comes first. Baptism comes second. Perhaps you say, preacher, I'm already saved, already baptized. What do I need to do to join this church? Why don't you come? We'll show you what you need to do to be a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. But I assure you, salvation comes first. Being submerged in baptismal water scripturally comes second. Then that makes you a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. Say, preacher, I'm saved, submerged, I'm serving, but I believe there's something else that God wants me to do for him. But I don't know what it is. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Just do what God's asking you to do. If you need clarity, we'd love to counsel with you. Tell you what God has for you in the next step in your life. What he wants you to do. But I can assure you, God loves you. God wants to move in your life. He wants to do something that only He can do. In the sonship, and it's never going down. It's just going to set sail for a new horizon one day. But you can rest assured that it's there. It's waiting for you. We're kept by the power of God. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that you have put us in the sonship based upon what Jesus Christ has done. And Lord, as a result of the sonship, we have eternal life, and it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that we will be like you because we will see you as you are. Lord, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, you said, because the trump would sound, the dead would be raised incorruptible, and we all that are saved would be changed. Lord, we're looking forward to that time, but it's all made by the entrance into the sonship. Help us to do that which you called us to do. Thank you that we can be more effective as sons of God and children of God, doing the will of God the same way Jesus Christ did. Thank you that you've made us heirs. Heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he has, we have a privilege and a part in that. Lord, we can only wait to see what that will be like. I have not seen nor ear heard the things that you have prepared for us, Lord. We see so much already, and it can only get better. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting us in this sonship. I pray for the one that's unsure what they would get it settled before they leave today. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Don't forget, Pastor White is coming up for our announcements.